Good morning. Our meditation for this last Sunday in the church year before our focus shifts to our Lord's first coming in a Bethlehem manger is based upon our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And Jesus' detailed account of the final judgment and the exchange that will take place between the Lord and the faithful as well as the unfaithful. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you can see, the church is all decked out for Christmas. But before we move on to the familiar texts of the holiday season, this being the last Sunday of the church's calendar year, we take one last look at our Lord's second coming. Our gospel is the last in a series of parables that Jesus gave in response to someone's question about what the last day will look like. 2 weeks ago, Jesus began by giving a warning to those in the church to be ever ready, and where he tells us that half will be and half won't be. Last week, it was how those in the church are to use whatever gifts God has afforded them to advance God's kingdom, and again, how some do and some don't. This morning we come to Jesus' conclusion of his discourse by making it clear that some will receive a reward and inheritance, while others will not, as the faithful and the unfaithful will be separated as sheep are from the goats. It all sort of reminds me of the high school math teacher who decided to have a pop quiz one day and so posed the following problem to her class. A wealthy man dies and leaves $10 million. One-fifth is to go to his daughter. One-fifth is to go to his son. One-sixth to his brother. And the rest to his wife. Now what does each person get? After a long silence, a young man at the back of the classroom raised his hand and says they each get a lawyer. As funny as that joke is, it is sadly true in many cases, as family members squabble over whatever inheritance they've received or not received. And yet, while it's hard to believe, Jesus tells us that something very similar will happen at the judgment, specifically with those learning that they will not be receiving an inheritance. They will argue and plead their case. But Jesus' parable for today simply underscores how misguided folks are concerning eternal life in heaven and how one will obtain it. I mean, all you need do is read a few obituaries or attend a few funerals where we are told that so-and-so was such a good person that they had surely earned heaven. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. The scriptures inform us that what we have actually earned is eternal death, that all of our supposed righteous acts are nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God, something to be thrown out with the trash. So, what then is going on in our text for this morning? It sure sounds like folks are being judged for their works. Well, it's true. We do hear how those who have been faithful to God, holding fast to the scriptures and then living out their faith in word and deed, will receive an inheritance, a reward for good works. But you have to understand, this is not the same as saying that one is saved by good works, for no work is good apart from faith. You see, faith is actually what produces works that God will account as being good. For faith in Christ produces love in one's heart, and this love will manifest itself in works that are pleasing to God. Just consider Jesus' parable of Luke chapter 17, where in verse 10 the faithful say, "We are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty." By contrast, the unbeliever is always going to determine the value of their work based on self-motivation, not for God or for anyone else. Jesus goes on to explain how folks on the last day are going to be separated as before a king's throne. Understand the imagery. Throughout human history, standing at the king's right hand was always a designation of honor. while being on the king's left was a place of dishonor. And so, in short, you knew where you stood with the king by where you were ushered into the throne room. And no one would willingly profess a preference for being on the king's left hand. It basically meant you were in trouble. And yet, while everyone will want to stand at the king's right, Jesus tells us throughout the scriptures that that will not be the case for those who throughout their lives have rebelled against the king's commands and who do not truly love him. Those who also rejected his outstretched hand and offer of forgiveness and pardon for crimes committed against the king. In the end, those who have pushed back against the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives will have brought judgment and punishment upon themselves on the last day, and the verdict rendered by Christ will be based upon the evidence of that rejection. In other words, did they live for themselves or for God? One cannot here but recall Jesus telling us how you can tell a good tree from a bad tree by the fruit that it bears. To be sure, since the final judgment is going to be a public one, evidence must be presented. And so Jesus tells us that he will begin with those standing on his right, those who have believed that they stand before the throne not by their own merit, but rather by the merit of the one who now judges them. Oddly enough, the judgment begins with the judge reciting only their good works, which they have performed, and no mention is made of their sins, because they actually have no sins to mention, because Christ's sacrifice on the cross has removed any record of them. Only the good deeds of the righteous will follow them into heaven, though by no means were they responsible for getting them into heaven. It's also interesting to note the surprised reaction of the saints, that the king should have even taken notice of what they had done, because they simply, motivated by love, did what needed to be done, not to win the king's or anyone else's favor, for the Christian already knows that he or she carries God's favor through Christ. For those who love God, for what he has done for us in Christ Jesus, forgiving and forgetting our sins, so that we may stand at his right hand at the final judgment, how can our response to his love for us be anything but to share that same love through our actions? In stark contrast to those standing at the right hand of Christ, those on his left, the ones referred to as the goats, apparently still don't believe that apart from Christ they cannot stand before the throne and still have the verdict be anything other than guilty. Standing there, they shed no tears or express feelings of remorse or repentance for the sinful lives that they have led, and the rejection of God's gift of his Son. No, instead, they begin to argue over the verdict, and in a self-righteous expression that underlies their true nature, they exclaim, "Had we only known, we would have done this or that." They are still operating on the idea that the judgment will somehow be based upon the merits of the individual. To those who have rejected the only means by which man will be saved, the judge will say, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Then to those on his right he shall say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Dear brothers and sisters, through your faith in Jesus Christ, firmly trusting and believing that he himself bore the judgment for your sins on the cross, you will have an everlasting inheritance in heaven awaiting you. You didn't have to pay for it. You didn't have to work for it, but rather Christ did on your behalf, and for no other reason than his love for you. Next Sunday, you'll notice that the blue pyramids will adorn the chancel, and the season of Advent will begin as we prepare ourselves for Christmas and our yearly remembrance of Jesus' first coming. But let us not lose sight of the fact that what we will actually be celebrating is our inheritance given to us by the babe born in the Bethlehem stable. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds firmly in Christ Jesus, our Lord, forevermore. Amen. Our Lord's blessings to each and to every one of you.